Rising several hundred feet from the plains and rolling hills around it, Cato Knob was covered with brush and was rockier than most of the landscape around it. Whatever geological upheaval in ages past had caused it to jut up from the Texas earth had torn numerous gullies in the surrounding countryside as well. Erosion had deepened those gullies, and over time they had grown thick with brush. Some of the Star Sea cattle, especially the older, wilier steers, liked to work their way back into that brush where they would be left alone for the most part. Finding them was a chore, and chousing them out was an even bigger one. Despite the fact that the day wasn't overly warm, Lee Creel's faded blue shirt had grown dark with sweat. The batwing chaps he wore protected his legs, but the brush had torn his shirt sleeves and raked the flesh under them, leaving red welts. He wasn't trying to impress anybody by taking on one of the harder tasks. It was just a job that needed done, that was all. He was tired, though, and hadn't done much good. He had four cows and a couple of calves he had pushed into a temporary brush corral, and that was all he had to show for several hours of work. When he heard a horse approaching, he was more than happy to accept it as a reason to take a break. He pushed out of the thicket where he'd been searching and rode into the open on the edge of one of the gullies. This particular gully wasn't deep, maybe 10 feet, and about twice that wide. Its banks dropped off sharply, though. A familiar figure rode up to the other side.
Howdy, Grandpa.
Lee, you out here by yourself?
Yes, sir.
Bring one of the other boys with you next time. Too many things can happen to a fellow when he's riding the range alone, and most of them are bad.
Yes, sir. Usually I work with Jason or Davey, but they're off somewhere else today.
Well, two of us can ride together for a while. How'd that sound to you?
Well, I'd like that mighty fine.
As far back as he could remember, his grandfather had been a stern, forbidden figure, not the sort of warm, friendly grandpa some fellas had while they were growing up. Lee knew that John Creel was a true pioneer, one of the first ranchers in this part of Texas, almost a legendary figure. He had plenty of respect for his grandfather, but they had never been particularly close. Because of that, he welcomed the opportunity to spend a little time with the older man, just the two of them.
Having much luck?
Not today. Half a dozen head.
Every half dozen is that many more. Where's the closest place a man can get across this gully?
There's a spot where the banks are washed out, about a quarter mile to the right.
Let's ride down there, then. You want to cross over, or should I?
Well, it don't make any difference to me, sir.
You're the one who's been working this part of the country today. You know better than I do where we ought to head next.
Well, in that case, I ain't really finished over here, so if you want to join me...
That's more like it. When it's your decision to make, go ahead and make it, by God. I'll meet you there.
Because of the pathways in the brush he had to follow as he rode along the gully, Lee soon lost sight of his grandfather. The old man had asked where he could cross the gully, but Lee figured John Creel already knew. He'd heard his grandfather boast many times that he knew every foot of the Star Sea, as well as he knew his own face in the shaving mirror. Lee reached the crossing first and reined in to wait. He could still hear John's horse moving through the brush on the other side of the gully. He took his hat off, sleeved sweat from his brow, and heard something else. It wasn't much, just a little crackling of branches, but it was enough to tell Lee that somebody or something was over there on the other side of the gully. His first thought was that some cagey old steer was lurking in the brush. Those mossy horns would sometimes attack a rider if they got the chance. His grandfather came into view. Lee opened his mouth and was about to call out a warning when he saw something that froze the words in his throat for a second. A rifle barrel had poked through a gap in the brush, unmistakable in its blued steel menace, and it was pointing straight at John Creel.
Grandpa, look out!
Lee's hand flashed toward the butt of the revolver holstered on his hip. John reacted as quickly as a younger man would have. He yanked back hard on the reins and his horse reared a little just as the rifle cracked. The animal screamed and jumped. At the same time, Lee's Colt boomed as he triggered a pair of shots. The bullets tore through the brush near the spot where Lee had seen the rifle barrel, which disappeared abruptly. He hoped he had hit the bushwhacking snake. John Creel's rearing, mortally wounded horse fell backward into the side. John kicked his feet out of the stirrups and tried to leap clear, but he was too late. The black's weight came crashing down on him. On the other side of the gully, the rifle blasted again. Lee heard the slug's high-pitched whine as it passed close to his head. He dived out of the saddle, hit the ground running, and fired twice more as he dashed for the cover of the nearest tree. He reached it unharmed and made himself as small as he could as he crouched behind it. As he quickly reloaded, he could see his grandfather's horse lying motionless on the gully's other bank. But he couldn't see John Creel. The horse's body blocked Lee's view of the old man.
Grandpa! Grandpa, are you all right?
There was no answer. Fury and fear rose up inside Lee. Fury at whoever had ambushed his grandfather, fear that the old man might be dead. The hidden rifleman hadn't fired again. Lee risked sticking his gun hand and part of his head past the tree trunk. He squeezed off three fast shots, spacing them along the other bank in the vicinity of the bushwhacker's hiding place. The man didn't return the fire. But as the echoes of the shots began to die away, Lee heard something else. The swift rataplan of hoofbeats receding into the distance. The rifleman had fled.